This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings out there to everybody at TFMR. Guess what? It's time for another Thursday conversation. You know, those podcasts we like to record if we can once a week, bringing in an outside mover and shaker in the precious metals industry. Sometimes it's a CEO, sometimes it's an analyst, but it gives you a chance to hear from them directly. All right, so we got a fun one for you today. I've known Sean Kunkun of Dolly Varden Silver for a couple of years now. And I love Dolly Varden. Let's get this out of the way right out of the chute. I am a shareholder. In fact, the company lists a very impressive list of shareholders right on their website. Of course, none more impressive than Craig Hemke at TF Metals Report. We all know that. In fact, actually, Sean, that's probably more like the kiss of death. I shouldn't be touting that. Anybody can pull up, at least TFMR site members can pull up my holdings in the member-only forums, and you can always see what I hold in all my different accounts. And so maybe people should check that, see what they don't want to own. But anyway, Sean is the president and CEO of Dolly Varden Silver. There have been some interesting developments as of late, and I wanted to get it straight from him so anybody else out there that owns the shares or is thinking about owning the shares can hear all about it. So Sean, that's a lengthy intro. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me, Craig. And, grateful that you're a shareholder and that you see what I see here. We've got a special company. And I just want to take you back real quickly, just because I think it's important to share with you and the audience what the vision, what the plan here, what we're doing at Dolly Varden. I think that's important. And what it is that we're doing is we're in a sector. We're in a business that for the last four decades, Craig, has not invested in exploration. And so the industry is not replenishing their pipeline of resources. And it's, you know, I happen to have silver and gold resources, but it's the same is true for other metals like copper and others. Just as an industry, the mining industry has not done a great job. It's very reactionary, and it reacts to price spikes, and then it quickly tries to go out. But all that leads to, I think, what is an incredible opportunity for investors. And so about 4 years ago, I took over Dolly Varden. Dolly Varden was the richest silver mine in the British Empire. It was Canada's third largest mine. And what I did is I brought in some incredible investors like Craig Hemke and your friend Eric Sprott. Yep. And Eric owns about 10% of the company. I also brought in a silver miner, because what I'm trying to do here, Craig, is I'm trying to prove up and identify and outline the future supply of the world's silver and our project. And I was very deliberate. I'm doing this in Canada. I'm not doing this in Argentina or Bolivia, because I believe we're in a world today, and I saw this a number of years ago, that was going to put a high degree of value in being in a safe jurisdiction. So what we've done, Craig, is we've found 140 million ounces of silver equivalent in the ground. So that's 50% silver, 50% gold. We've got 140 million ounces of silver equivalent in the ground in Canada, and we're finding more silver on, we had some incredible results out recently. We've got some incredible shareholders. We're well financed. And that sort of gives you the idea, though. The idea behind this company is there's going to be these larger silver miners that are going to need mineral inventory, and we're securing it. We're securing it through smart business deals, like going in the boardroom and negotiating acquisitions like we did up at Homestake. And then we're also, I employ some of the best scientists in the world, and they're stepping out of these old past producing mines, and they're expanding and extending new discoveries. So that's how we're growing the mineral inventory.
And you're not out there in the middle of nowhere. You're in the kind of the southeast part of the Golden Triangle, as they call it. So remind people what that is.
So listen, about 100 years ago, gold was discovered up in Northwest BC. And for the first 100 years, there was about 5 million ounces of gold outlined. You know, from 1890 to 1989, there was 5 million ounces of gold discovered. Now, what's happened, Craig, in the last 30 years is 150 million ounces of gold have been discovered in the Golden Triangle in the last 30 years. And the reason that we've gone from 5 million to 155 million in such a short period of time is because we've now got incredible infrastructure that's gone into the area. So, you know, in addition to having the roads and the deep water seaports and the regional airports, you've actually got clean hydroelectric power. So it makes for, you know, incredibly cost-efficient exploration, development, and production. And that's attracted the world's largest gold miner. Newmont is operating two mines up in the Golden Triangle. And so the Golden Triangle is an incredibly rich area. But I think, Craig, it's still in its infancy. And the reason I say that is up until the last decade or so, the power wasn't there, the roads weren't there, and much of the area was covered by ice. And the ice is melting back, the glaciers are receding, and now you've got all the infrastructure up there. So it's one of the best areas in the world. It's actually the richest 20 kilometers on the planet for gold and silver mineralization.
And like you said, and I thank you for reminding me, again, nobody's really looking for this, that we know about demand of silver. I mean, it was going to be the third year in a row of a significant supply deficit in silver. I'm sure you saw there's a list of silver mining executives that petitioned Congress to call silver a critical metal, as it should be going forward, right? I mean, it's so important in electricity generation, everything else. But yet again, so little exploration. You can't help but feel you're kind of the tip of the spear of this, Sean.
Well, yeah. And the reality is we're not in a price environment that is incentivizing people to go out and explore. And, you know, from my vantage point, I think you need about $30 silver in order to get to a place where you're really encouraging the development of projects and new exploration. So, you know, what we found ourselves into here is something where we knew there was a lot of silver in the ground because of the past production. And I came in at a time when silver was $16 an ounce. And I got moving ahead of the curve a little bit, but I still think it's an incredible opportunity where you've got, you know, and what's incredible, and I listened to you, and I know that you've had other guests on to talk about this, but there's an incredible disconnect between silver and gold stocks and the price of the metals. Like, you know, the price of gold, like Craig, you know, we always want it higher, but it's not a bad price, you know, on a relative basis. But the gold stocks are lowest they've ever been, and not just on a relative basis.
No, and it's obviously drives everybody crazy, and we wait for that day. And I don't know if it'll take, you know, a bust out in price to really get some investor momentum or what. But in the meantime, all you can do, Sean, is just keep doing what you're doing and working the plan. You know, I've watched your stock go from a year ago in the U.S., it was 90 cents. And now a year later, it's at 50. And I all I've seen it from your company is fundamental improvement. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, I guess some of the recent results in that Homestake area, some of the step out results you've had in that Wolf area, you know, just some of the other things that the company's only gotten better in the last year, but the stock doesn't necessarily reflect that.
Yeah. So essentially what we've done is when I talk about the 140 million ounces of silver equivalent, in addition to that, we've invested about $40 million into the ground since we did our last estimate. And the $40 million we've put into the ground has generated some new discoveries. So there's this one deposit on the property called Wolf. And Wolf has gone from just being this little tiny showing at surface, and it's now 1 kilometer of strike length where we're finding 20, 30, 40 meters of high-grade silver mineralization averaging about 300 grams per ton or about 10 ounces to the ton. So it's an extremely wide deposit. It's growing. And it was the catalyst for Hecla to increase their stake in the company back in October from 10% to 15%. They did that on the back of Wolf and the success we're having at Wolf, because they see it as a potentially another major silver deposit on the property. But the recent results that you're citing were something that exceeded my expectations. We drilled 93 meters of 357 grams per ton silver equivalent.
Wow.
Now, what's really special about Dolly Varden is, yes, you've got a company that has got a lot of metal in the ground. Yes, it's in a safe jurisdiction. But if you really hone into what makes this company, I think, like one of the most unique in the silver space, is a lot of our peers, they're not pure silver plays. Most of the silver out there gets, like 72% of the silver in the world gets produced as a byproduct. There's very few primary silver mines. So we got a primary silver mine. But the other thing that we have is it's a really big ore body. So like some of the, if you look at like historic silver production, you know, guys were, they were mining these narrow veins, and these narrow veins were sometimes like a mile deep. And it makes it very, very difficult to make money, especially in a modern world. But the thing that makes Dolly unique and special is like getting 93 meters of 12 ounce silver. You can bring in, you can bring in sort of the mechanized mining. You can do bulk mining, right? You can go after this stuff, and it's, it can be very, very profitable. And it makes it unique. So it's got grade, it's got size, it's a wide ore body. And that's why 93% of the company is held by shareholders that are either corporates, they're institutions, they're your buddy Eric Sprott. And so, you know, there's only 7% of the company that's in the hands of the public.
Wow. And an interesting thing of late that has even made this your company look less expensive is that rebalancing of that SILJ index. I mean, of that 7%, here they were impacting it on it for a couple of days.
Yeah, like if you go back and you know, you go back to January 29th, and I was sitting at my desk, and the market was closing in about, you know, 15 minutes, and all of a sudden, I'm seeing our shares accelerate to the downside in the most dramatic way I've ever seen in the 4 years that I've been sitting at this desk.
You're like, so, wait a second.
Yeah. And I'm going, what is going on here? And, and because, you know, we only have such a small percentage that are held outside of these strategic investors, you know, it was just shocking. And so I did some investigating, and and I found out it was one of the ETFs that had made a decision to focus on larger companies. And they dumped a whack of shares, and they did it in a very inefficient manner.
Yeah.
And that sent our share price, you know. Now, what was amazing is that our shareholder base stepped up, and over the course of last week, you know, bought about $6.5 million worth of shares, and really absorbed it. And we've almost gotten back to where we were pre Silge dump.
That's a good way to put it. I mean, yeah, it's got to, I'm just fascinated thinking about it. Here, you're the guy that knows everything about your company, and all of a sudden you see your shares going, did I miss something here? Did something, an email somehow I didn't get?
Yeah. Well, and I was looking at the price of silver going, is that? No. But you know what's crazy, right, is I had, like, I've got friends and family that, you know, support me and follow what company's doing. And, you know, you go back to December, and we were trading, call it around, you know, 70 cents a share or so, right? And people were buying the shares because we did a lot of drilling last year. And
yeah,
they were excited about the results that we've had in the past. And the thinking out there was, if Dolly Varden can put out results like they had in the past, this stock's going to get back to that 93 cents a share that you referenced, right? Mm-hmm. And it was trading around 70 cents a share, and maybe it can even go beyond 93 cents. And what's interesting is we delivered on the 16th of January. We put out some of the best drill results we've ever had at the project, and the shares are lower today. So, you know, what I'm really proud of is we've got the right shareholders that are enabling us to advance the project. There's no shortage of money to advance the project. There's no shortage of interest, but because the price is where it is, and the fundamentals of the company are improving. I'll give you a statistic here. When I took over the company, we were trading at 40 cents an ounce in the ground. By that later that summer, with silver soaring to $30 in the summer of 2020, we went from 40 cents an ounce, we were trading at $4 an ounce in the ground. And today we're at about $1 an ounce in the ground, okay? And way off that $4 high. But we've added, Craig, 100 million silver equivalent ounces from where we started. And probably then some, because you know we've done so much drilling since our last estimate. So I think my point here is the value for investors. You've got a lower price company that's tripled its mineral inventory.
Precisely. And Sean, I look at it, my metric I like to look at is look at your market cap. I mean, your U.S. market cap is under $150 million, right? And I look at that and I think, okay, what would be a fair valuation as they keep going forward? 4 or 5 times that? And so I think, well, okay, that makes it pretty good up. So I love the stock at 90 cents thinking, okay, that sends it up to 2+. But at 50 cents, it's the same, you know, it's just an extra double. So I look at your situation. You've got, still last report, almost $10 million in Canadian dollars in the treasury, right?
That's right. We also have no debt. And
no debt.
The other thing to think about here is last year we drilled 115 holes. I've got about 48 drill holes that I'm going to report imminently. And one of the ideas that my vice president of exploration has, and this is a guy that went up to the Golden Triangle. You know, I mentioned that the Golden Triangle had only discovered 5 million ounces of gold up until 1989. Well, our VPX was up there during that next major phase of discovery when mines like the Snip Mine or Eskay Creek were being discovered.
Yep.
And so he had an idea as he spent decades on the Golden Triangle studying the Bruce Jack mine, which is now operated by Newmont, or studying the Premier mine, which Ascot is taking back into production. And he came up with this idea on our project that there is that our deposits, we've got 7 deposits, and he thinks that there may be a relationship in between deposits. And the simple way to say that is maybe they're connected. And so I've got drill holes that are pending in what I refer to, Craig, as the gap zone. And if we're successful in expanding our mineral footprint outside of the known envelope, we're going to be adding a lot of ounces. So, you know, I just want to say to your audience and to you as a shareholder, I've got 48 holes coming. And the one thing I'm really proud about with Dolly Varden is we have demonstrated a brand of delivering exceptionally good drill results. And, you know, that's all we've ever done in the last 4 years that I've been here. And I like my history's on our side on this next round of drill report.
Yeah. And, you know, like anything else, just takes patience, obviously, from investors. You look at your story, you look at silver as a, like I said, a critical metal, the demand from points east like China. I just saw something today, Sean, about demand in Turkey. You know, a lot of places in the east, if you will, gold prices go up, so they swap out to silver. I mean, there's so many reasons to look for a higher silver price and then look for more silver on top of that. And you're just so uniquely positioned. Like I said, 150 million market cap. You got plenty of cash and great results, it seems like, coming out on a regular basis. Now, again, everybody, You don't take my word for this. I'm the last person, really. I've proven that. However, obviously, Sean has proven that he knows what he's doing. He's got a great team and a great jurisdiction. So your job now, everybody listening, is to do your own due diligence and your homework. I'll put some links on this page, as I always do, to their homepage, the Dolly Varden Silver website. You can click around and look at the fact sheet, corporate presentation, all that kind of stuff. The symbols, you can look, you can do a lot of research just off the ticker symbols. DV, that's pretty easy in Canada. DOLLF, as in Frank in the US, it actually trades in Frankfurt too, DVQ1. So again, now is the time for you to do your research. Look at this again. If I liked it at 90, why wouldn't I like it at 50? Sean, thank you so much for your time. All I ask is that you keep us up to date and keep doing great work.
I just want to leave you with one closing thought. I think this is one of the best leveraged vehicles to rising silver and gold prices. So I'll just leave you with that. It's a great, you know, it's traditionally outperformed. The price of silver is up 1%. Dolly Varden shares are up 3%. So it's got great leverage to silver moving in the right direction.
I love it. Sean, let's make sure we keep in touch. I know you're a busy guy, and so thank you so much for carving out some time to visit with me.
Likewise, thank you.
And from all of us here at TFMR, thank you for listening. Again, check out Dolly Varden Silver. And be sure to always keep an eye on TFMR for another Thursday conversation coming next week.